Marjorie Williams was a Washington journalist who wrote profiles for Vanity Fair, a weekly column for the Washington Post's op-ed page, and book reviews for the online magazine Slate. In 2001, Williams, who was to all appearances in terrific health, was diagnosed with advanced liver cancer. Against the odds, she survived 3.5 more years. She died this past January at the age of 47. Williams' husband, Timothy Noah, who was a senior writer at Slate, has put together a collection of her writings, some pieces published for the first time in this collection. The collection is called The Woman at the Washington Zoo. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
There's a great Laurie Moore short story about a dancer who's ill. I've forgotten the title of the story, but there's one line in it I've always remembered. It reads, "Dance is life, giving death the finger." That line began running through my head after I read the first few pieces by Marjorie Williams, collected in The Woman at the Washington Zoo. Williams' sentences dance. They're acrobatic, graceful, and sassy. Her sentences, so full of vitality, give death the finger, even as, in the final section of this collection, they also give death its due. You don't have to have been aware of Marjorie Williams' work before her most untimely death this year to be utterly absorbed by the pieces in The Woman at the Washington Zoo. As a reading experience, it's a call not to respectful tribute, but to pleasure and enlightenment. Williams' husband and the editor of this collection, Timothy Noah, opens it with a selection of the brilliant political profiles Williams wrote for The Washington Post and Vanity Fair during the Bush 1 and Clinton administrations. Reading them is like reacquainting yourself with a once-familiar rogues gallery of Washington insiders like Vernon Jordan and Richard Darman, characters who still fascinate because their personalities are so outsized. Williams' profile of Barbara Bush is particularly sharp, considering, as it does, the noted schism between the former First Lady's public image, now somewhat eroded, as a helpmate, and the titanic force of her caustic private self. I don't think I've ever heard anyone else besides Williams propose class, in addition to the social pressure to conform to a traditional wifely role, as the key to Barbara Bush's discordant behavior. Williams says, "The only way to reconcile the two facets of Barbara Bush is to understand her as a woman of her class, the American social stratum that has always raised its children to assume their own superiority, and also to mask that assumption at all times." So smart. In the personal essays that begin to infiltrate this collection halfway through, Williams trains that same acuity on her own reluctance to marry, her son's fearful fascination with bugs, and, in a long shape-shifting piece called The Alchemist, on her mother. Timothy Noah discovered that piece after his wife's death and speculates that she felt it too raw to be published during her own lifetime. In The Alchemist, Williams recalls growing up in a family of five, presided over by her bon vivant father, who was a fixture in the New York publishing world, and her emotionally reticent mother, a gourmet cook who preferred to stay in the shadows during the literary dinner parties the couple hosted. Williams observes of her mother that cooking, which others praised as her glory, seemed to me her bunker. Sometime during my adolescence, the mother I loved had vanished into the faultless form of giving that ruled her orderly kitchen. You could eat at her table every night and never once taste the thing that you were really hungry for. The third section of this book is composed of Williams' writings about her battle, her inexplicable, absurd, and terrifying battle with liver cancer. The lead-off piece, Hit by Lightning, a Cancer Memoir, appears in print here for the first time. It's not that these personal essays transcend the journalistic techniques that informed the earlier sections of this book. Rather, it's their journalistic attention to detail, to the telling remark, wedded to an overarching awareness of her own death sentence that graced them with such power. Williams writes of chatting on the phone one day, her hand idly roaming on her stomach, and coming upon a lump the size of a small apricot in her lower abdomen. An ultrasound later locates at least 5 large tumors that had metastasized from her liver, the very same day that a clueless au pair is arriving from the Czech Republic to help tend her young children, then 5 and 8. There's much anger in these essays directed at stupid doctors and New Age idiots who arrogantly lecture her on the psychological toxins she surely must have harbored to thus bring this cancer upon herself. And there is grief at leaving a family, a life she obviously loves. The final, very short essay in the collection is called The Halloween of My Dreams, and in it, Williams writes of watching her almost 9-year-old daughter go out the door for a night of trick-or-treating. Adorned in glitter and makeup, she looks fleetingly like a teenager. Williams savors that vision of the future beyond her own death, and her words dance.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University and is the author of the memoir Leave Me Alone, I'm Reading. She reviewed The Woman at the Washington Zoo, Writings on Politics, Family, and Fate by Marjorie Williams. Timothy Noah edited his late wife's collection.